You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week we hear from Adam Ietsi, the Australian-born founder of AIPR, one of London's top fashion PR firms. While he started out with nothing more than a modest address book and a desire to go it alone, Adam's refreshingly honest approach has garnered him plaudits. He now represents major fashion labels from APC to Sunspell to JW Anderson. This week Adam shares his story.
I studied economics, and with it I did a stream of Japanese. I was very lucky to get a scholarship and live in Japan. It made me realise that I was really interested in fashion. Ended up here, wound up in PR, working for an agency. I had been obsessed with media since I was a kid. I used to take clippings of different articles about politics of the time. My parents bought my brother and I a Macintosh 2, I think it was, and I tried to set up this crazy kind of system of organising all of these clippings, which never really got finished. I guess I was trying to invent Google, which probably would have been a good Eureka story. I can't just sell anything, so I wanted to have more control over the brands that I had, and so when I could, I decided to set up my own agency. I started with one staff member who I'd been working with at the agency, so it was a bit of a Jerry Maguire thing where I was like, I'm out, who's with me? And one crazy but lovely Japanese girl came with me. I started with young designers. That's what London is very well known for. You know, London Fashion Week is pretty much built on creativity. And it was an easy way to start because most young designers don't really pay that much. And so some of the bigger agencies aren't, you know, really interested in looking after them. There are a lot of hard work and, yeah, for not much financial reward. But I had a really good success story, which was I started working with JW Anderson from almost the beginning of his career. He'd showed a couple of men's shows and I saw them and I thought it was really unique at that time what he was doing. It felt very different because it was at the time when people had just started selling a lot online. So they were kind of designing for that. So there was a lot of print and stuff going on in London. And Jonathan, for his JW Anderson line, was doing something, you know, very different. His story was an incredible one. He was invested in by LVMH and became creative director of Loewe. So I still work with him on JW Anderson, and he asked us to look after Loewe for the UK. So it's been an incredible journey for him, but also for me and the agency, because it enabled us to grow with him, I suppose. And there's other really kind of key clients that I can think about. One of them was APC. And again, I was introduced to APC through a small independent designer that I was working with called Jessica Ogden. She introduced me to them and I started working with them on press for the UK. They really liked my approach and asked me to oversee global communications, which has also been a fantastic experience for me because it's meant that I can touch on press in places like the US, Japan, and even Australia, where they've successfully opened two stores in the last couple of years. So it's been great to be able to go back and do a bit of work there. I started in 2005 and things were going really well, and then there was the financial crisis of 2008. That hit us hard. We lost some clients and I had some clients that were trying to negotiate lower fees, but we got through it. It was still a really small team at that point, but I managed to get through it without kind of laying anyone off, which I was really proud of. I've always been extremely cautious and tried to stay kind of small and agile. Like, I think there's benefits with that because you don't have it, you never have a kind of huge payroll or a huge rent. The growth in the agency has always been for it to grow slowly, because I think some agencies have a tendency of promoting themselves and the agency itself becomes very popular very quickly and they take on a lot of business, but then the clients aren't serviced correctly and they start going one by one. So I've seen that happen time and time again, and I think for lots of different reasons I wanted to have a tight client list, and I think that has kind of helped in a way because you don't grow too quickly. There's a few different types of PRs. There's PRs that are, you know, extremely social, There's PRs that are from, you know, really well-connected backgrounds. I'm probably neither of those. So I rely on the integrity of each of my clients and communicating that to people. Over time, that has built a trust between certain people. It puts you in a position where you're able to pick up the phone or to meet with someone and they want to hear what you've got to say because from their experience, it's been something of interest or value to them before. And that takes a really long time. I think what I've realised is that there's only so much time in the day, so it's impossible in a city like London to know everyone in terms of the press. But I find that quite interesting. There's always new people coming in. The industry is at a time of huge change in terms of digital and social and stuff, and I thrive from the new people that are coming through that are doing different types of media or different platforms. And the other side, the client side, I think I try to be available all of the time. I want to hear from clients rather than not, because I think if you don't hear from them, it normally means that they're not happy. The fashion industry in particular, it's almost like someone just woke up and realised that the print was on the decline and now they're desperately trying to search for what is the most effective way to communicate their story. In some ways, I think that makes the role of the PR even more interesting because the media is so fragmented that, you know, you need that person more than ever in order to create a context for your brand and to get across whatever point of view you have, whether it be through a print magazine, which I think there is still a place for, or through Instagram. I never did a business plan, but I had, you know, in my mind, a kind of plan, I guess. And I thought that I would make money in around 2 years' time. And it took a lot longer to do that. It's completely self-funded, and so I was making a living, but it didn't feel like it was a very particularly good living. And then at some point, yeah, it was definitely after the crisis, I think maybe around 2012, I felt like this was really successful and it would take something kind of quite major for the business to stop a lot longer than I thought, which I think is a really important lesson for anyone that wants to start their own business, which I think, you know, I would encourage because it brings an enormous rewards, but you should never go into it thinking that it's going to be an easy ride or that you're going to have Fridays off or whatever, because you'll be the one working the longest hours, even if it's not necessarily you in the office for the longest time. When you have your own business, you're always working, pretty much. You're always thinking about it. The company is still of a size where, you know, we don't have an HR department, so recruiting at a kind of full-time senior level is done by me. And it's, for right or wrong, it's very much based on gut. I kind of try and look for PRs or people that are wanting to be PRs that don't fit the mold. I feel like I don't really. I don't think of myself as a typical PR. So I like things like people who, you know, haven't studied PR and promotion or whatever the degrees are called, or haven't been to university, or, you know, have just done something different, or there's something about them that feels unique. Because actually, a big part of being a successful PR is being able to stand out in the minds of the press, because this was one thing that I didn't really take into account when I set up the business, is that there's a hell of a lot of PR agencies in London. It takes time and a kind of, you know, a unique approach in order to stand out.
Thanks very much to Adam, founder of AIPR, for sharing his story. Thanks too to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who edited this episode. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.